keep messing up. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I promise we can do it.
Okay, so today we are going to, for our teaching time, have a little panel interview. And again, for those of you who know me well, I am kind of Ron McLean, James Duffy in my dreams. And today I get to interview three phenomenal athletes and people as part of our message time today. So let's give it up for our panel guests today. I'm going to introduce them each to you. First, we have here Dana McGregor. In the middle, we have Brian Irvin. And on the end, we have Martin Rennie. And these guys are amazing, and it's the game of soccer and the Lord Jesus and relation to the Lord Jesus that has brought them together from all really around the world, and even us together. It's been really neat, and we've been part of the Flow Camp team this week. So I'd like to introduce them a little bit to you, each of you. First of all, we have Dana McGregor here. Dana is an amazing professional soccer player. He's played futsal. He is the most enthusiastic person I've probably ever met, and he's a little crazy. He lives in Pismo Beach, California. One of his claims to fame is that he has taught his goats how to surf. And so that's really amazing. Well, I think we'll just start right away, Dana, with the first question. How in the world did you teach goats how to surf?
Well, actually, the goats taught me to surf. No. It was about 3 years ago I got a goat. The Lord just told me, woke up one morning, the Lord told me, go get a goat. I was like, all right, let's do it. So I went to this goat farm And I was praying. I'm like, God, which goat should I get? And literally all these goats walked away. This one goat, which I call Goatee, she walked right up to me. I wrote a little children's book. You could buy it in the lobby. No, I'm just joking. No, but yeah, and then on my birthday, you know, I taught her how to surf, and we fell in love.
Surfinggoats.com. I encourage you to look at that. We'll turn it over to Brian Irvin. So, I don't know if you know, but we are in the presence of greatness here. Brian Irvin is a former professional soccer player. He played internationally for Scotland. He played in the Scottish Premier League for Aberdeen. He played over 300 games for Aberdeen, scored 28 goals in over 300 games. And Brian is also part of the Flow Camp team. He's also done a lot of soccer coaching. And so, Brian, the greatest moment probably of your career was in the 1990 Scottish Premier League Championship when you scored the winning goal in the penalty shootout in 1990. Talk to us a little bit about what that was like.
Talk you through it. I'll speak slowly because you just asked me an exciting question. When I get all excited and start speaking quickly, you won't know what I'm saying with my Scottish accent. A very exciting day 25 years ago. So it's a long time ago now. It seems like yesterday. But also the game itself wasn't a very good game. It finished 0-0, 0-0. Went to extra time, still 0-0. Went to penalty shootout, 4-4, so it was still equal. So went to sudden death. Both teams kept scoring, got to 8-8. Then the player from the other team, Celtic, I played for Aberdeen, and it was Celtic were playing. The Celtic player missed, so the next Aberdeen player, if he could score, could win it for Aberdeen. I happened to be the next Aberdeen player. But I'm not exactly first in the queue. If you've done all your sums, there was a couple of penalties missed. It's 8-8, so it's basically all the outfield players had gone except me. I was last in line, but the way that it fell, I could be in the position to score a winning penalty. So 70,000 crowd at the National Stadium in Scotland. Exciting moment, and I just walked forward. I prayed. I was a Christian at that time, and I prayed for God to help me. Not to help me to win, or my team to win, because that would be asking God to take sides, and I don't think that's how to pray, I don't think. But I asked that God would be with me, and I definitely got a sense of God's presence in this very nerve-wracking situation, and I got a sense of peace, and that peace enabled me just to keep calm and thankfully hit the winning penalty. And we won 9-8 against Celtic to that exciting climax to the season that year. But it was 25 years ago. It seems like yesterday, and it was great to... I just told the story there, and it was great. I've told it earlier in the first service as well, and it's actually reliving the moment, which was pretty good.
I love reliving sports moments. You guys know that. Let's turn it down to Martin there. So, Martin... Great. Martin, I'd love for you just to begin by talking about how you kind of grew up as a kid and young lad in Scotland, actually kind of knowing Brian Irvin or revering Brian, and now you're coaching together with him. Maybe take that for a moment. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I was actually an Aberdeen fan. My dad's from Aberdeen, and I watched that cup final and obviously was celebrating and very, very happy about it. Brian was well known as a Christian football player. There wasn't any other Christians that I knew of that were outspoken about their faith. And so in our household, he was certainly a role model. And after he scored that penalty, I remember being out celebrating, enjoying the day. And maybe about a year later, Brian actually came and spoke in our church and came to our house for dinner. And I think we were all pretty excited about that. And years later, Brian worked with me as a coach, and we've worked together and kept in touch and become good friends. So it's been nice to see that go full circle. And also, Dane, as a player that I coached for 3 years, I aged a lot in that time. But I had a lot of fun, and it's great also to become, you know, good friends with him as well after working with him for those years, and to see what he's done using soccer and tying it together with ministry, and reminding us, I think, that God wants us to use our talents for his glory, and if we're willing to put ourselves out there, then he'll help us do that, even if it seems like what we do isn't glamorous or exciting or a normal missionary. God can use it in incredible ways, and he calls us to do that, and when we are willing to put ourselves out there, he blesses it in incredible ways.
Let's keep it right there, Martin. So one of the things I want to talk with each of these guys about is some setbacks. I mean, life in the professional soccer realm is not easy. You had a setback even as a young lad coming here to North Carolina on a first professional contract, first training session, blow your knee out. And you've also had some other setbacks even more recently. So talk about how God has met you in those places, strengthened you, even redirected your life through that.
Yeah, I think, in life, we all have setbacks at different times. And in the Bible, it talks about how there was two people built a house, and one built their house on solid ground, on rock, and one built their house on sand. And when that storm came and when things were difficult, the house that was built on the sand fell apart. It didn't last. But the house that was built on the rock stood firm, and it lived through the storm, and it was fine. And that's really what I've found in my life, is that as I've grown as a Christian and I've made Christ my foundation and the rock of my life, when things have been difficult, and of course there have been times, like Dave mentioned, I wanted to always be a professional soccer player. On the very first day after I'd signed a contract, very first training session, I blew out my knee, and I never even really played for that team, and never played for another year. And in that difficult moment, the dream that I had was taken away, and yet God was more than sufficient. And we don't always see the results of that, but in that particular time, I got to meet my wife, and I've had an amazing marriage and family through that. And so God blesses us in different ways. But most importantly, if our life is built on Him, then we know that when the hard times hit, he's going to be with us, and it takes us through it. Not that it will always be easy, but that we will absolutely be standing at the end of it.
Amen, yeah. And if you look at the bottom right-hand picture there, years later, Martin and I had a chance to win the championship together, the BCCSL Division II championship. Martin was, after my chance meeting with him in West Vancouver, and he came to transform our team, gave me my first championship in 26 seasons of trying. So that was good. Let's come back here to Dana McGregor. And Dana, I know life has had its ups and downs for you as well. Your parents went through a breakup, which was challenging. I know as a young lad, you were attempting to make teams, didn't always make the teams that you thought. There's a story of the cup final and you not even maybe getting into the lineup in the starting or on the field in the cup final, but having to learn how to push through that. So talk about how God's given you strength and shaped you through that.
Yeah, for sure. I've obviously had a lot of setbacks. Big time, my parents divorced when I was 29, and that broke my heart. And I felt like God was just drawing me close to Him through that. And I was in a soccer season. Barton was my coach at the time and wasn't playing much. Probably didn't have the best attitude. Or, you know, because when you go through hard times, you really realize that family, you know, God is first and then family second. And if your family falls apart, you're pretty much like, what else is there? Is there soccer? It's much more than kicking a foolish ball around. As much as you love it, you know, it's like family's super important, you know. And so when that falls apart, your heart kind of breaks, you know. I'm sure some of you have been through that, you know. And so I just cried out to God, and I just said, Lord, I trust you in this time. And God just, you know, he comes through in amazing ways. And in so many unique ways. And it's like, the more you lay down your life, it seems like God just blesses you more and more and more and more. And this goat story that's brought up is actually a God story, you know, and it's really funny. I'm not going to get into it. We don't have time, but yeah. Yeah.
You can talk to Dana and check out surfingghost.com. Brian Irvin, very interesting part of Brian's career. When he was 30 years old, really at the pinnacle of his career, center back, they really hit their maturity, late 20s, early 30s. That's his position he's always played. And at age 30, Brian, in the height of his career internationally with Scotland, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And that was a huge time to really press into the Lord. Could you talk about that time and what God was teaching you through that?
Yeah.
And how God's brought healing for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thankfully I'm well today and I'm thankful for that. But it was a tough time back in 1985 when I was diagnosed, and the doctor in the hospital in Aberdeen told me the news and left me in the side ward that I was in Forest Hill Hospital in Aberdeen with this news to digest. And it was pretty hard to take it in. An athlete and a fit, seemingly indestructible attitude you have, been told this news of something that's making you feel pretty fragile. And that was a position. So I was left in the, I always remember the ward, just to come to terms with it on my own before then they come in, my wife and family or friends come in to digest the news. And it was tough. And I reflect now on that moment, saying, you know, success at soccer had brought me with medals, caps, any material benefits at football, financial benefits it brought, had been put in the bed beside me at the time. Would that have helped me? And obviously, it wouldn't have helped. And it, what really brought home to me, what made a difference and what did make a difference at that time in a very real way, was my relationship with God. It showed me that the important thing in life was about relationships. Your relationship with God through Jesus and your relationship with other people. And that's the key things in life, whether it's a good thing or you're asking just now some bad experiences we've went through. And, you know, God is always there in a relationship basis. Other people are hopefully always there for you. Other Christians or people with your family are always there for you. And that is a key thing in life. That's not the success that you strive after for me as a soccer player or whatever your job is. They're nice and it is good when it's going well, but they're not the key things. When it comes to the crunch, whether it's a bad news and an illness or whether it's the ultimate thing where an instant you could be gone, then you realise what was I chasing after and what I didn't have the proper perspective in life. And so in a way I'm quite thankful, Dave, because I got that chance to think about things in a more positive way than, you know, had this not happened, I could have carried on until that moment when it was maybe too late. I was a Christian at the time, but it just brings you to a deeper level. And it definitely brought me to a deeper level and a deeper level in my relationship with God through that relationship with Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, it's cool. And it's just great having you coaching. I see the enthusiasm God's giving you, the ability to connect with people too, so it's great.
Yeah, I can't do the keepy uppies like Martin. I've lost it now. I've started giving up, retired, and I haven't. If you don't practice, you lose it. Yeah. You've got to use it or lose it. So I can't do any keepy uppies now. So
I still think you could win some good headers in the box.
I could crunch a few folk in a tackle too. So that's I was a defender, and I still like a tackle.
That's great. So Dana, love to talk to you about really your calling as a Flow Camp soccer missionary. That's really God's calling on you. You've traveled all over the world using the game of soccer as a way to share Christ. So talk about your calling there and that.
Yeah, I feel like God gave me a vision when I was like 17 when I came to the Lord. And I felt like the vision was to, you know, have a soccer ministry type of thing. Like use soccer, use what I'm most passionate about for the glory of God. So yeah, now the Lord's opened up doors here in Canada. We've gone to Australia and several different places that the Lord's opened up just to reach kids. And I know God's given me a special gift to work with kids, and I just want to use it all for His glory.
Yeah,
so,
awesome, yeah.
And that glory shake you saw earlier, I know it seems ridiculous, but like when someone did that to me first time, it's like they lifted me up, and it was like I was like a child again. And the Bible says, like, when you enter the kingdom like a child, you know? And so I feel like even though we're adults, you know, some of us, you know, like we still got to enter the kingdom like a child, you know? And so I just want to encourage you guys, like, man, get out of yourself, you know? Because I need to do it every day, you know? Get out of yourself and worship the Lord. And like David did, he did undignified, like he just sweat for it, you know? So just want to encourage you to do that.
Great. And Dana oozes enthusiasm, and this was a soccer camp like no other, like no other. It's great. Brian, you come all the way from Scotland. Brian just arrived here on Thursday evening, 3-hour flight delay, all the way from Scotland to be here to minister here and then next week in Chilliwack. What brings you here? What's God's calling in this season of your life to use your career as a platform to share Christ?
Yeah, quite simply, that's it, just to come and share the good news. And it's a long way to come to share the good news, but I'm here, and I'll be gone. And you'll never see me again, so say hi when I'm having my coffee before I go, because I won't see you again, unfortunately. I won't see you again, I don't think. I might see one or two, and maybe come back. I'd love to come back. But it's just amazing how God can say, put on your heart, go with the flow guys to Vancouver and go and share the good news with the soccer, and the opportunity comes in word, because I'm not so much able to do the soccer stuff so well now, but I can still share the good news. And I think it's important as well that I live the good news, because I've realised that over the years I've got older. I'm a bit older now than when I started as a Christian. I became a Christian nearly 30 years ago. But it's not just talking about my faith, it's living my faith. And so one example is to come over here and demonstrate that God is real and just share the good news, especially the young ones. I love working with young ones, and this is a young looking audience as I look out. So there's a lot of young ones here, not just 10, 11, 12. There's a lot of young men and women here as well. So it's good to see such a young, lively congregation. But it's just, I love coming to share the good news. I've been called to come over, even if it's for one day, come a long way in the plane, and I'll go back knowing that I've done the Lord's work, and that's what I love to do. I just love sharing the good news and just sharing the fact, first and foremost, that for real, God loves you. Not just in a book that you read about it, but God really loves you. And if you've any doubt about that, just let me repeat it to you. God loves you, whatever your name is. I don't, unfortunately, know a lot of your names, but God knows your name. God knows each one of you personally. And He's demonstrated that love He's got for you by dying on the cross through Jesus, rising again. And if you just accept that love, John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, kind of so well known that it's kind of overlooked, I think, but it's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will not die, but have eternal life. And that's the truth that we can all accept or reject. And I encourage you today, like I would encourage young ones of any age, to accept that truth. And then when you do that, you've accepted that gift that God has given us, the gift of eternal life. And it's worth covering 6,000 miles to tell you that good news, even though your pastor hopefully tells you every week. Just to reiterate it. That God loves you. God loves you, your name. When I say God loves you, put your name at the end of that sentence. God loves you, whatever your name is. And it's a truth. And He just wants a relationship with you. And wants it to make it a real relationship with you for the rest of your life.
Thanks, Brian. Turn over to Martin. So, Martin, I know God has really placed a great gifting on your life to be a soccer coach and a leader and a speaker and a mentor. He's also given you many opportunities through coaching to share your faith. You also have a global vision, I know, for sharing Christ globally and locally. God's also called you and your family most recently, and you're leaving this week to begin a new career in South Korea. So we'd love to hear a little bit about that and also your vision from God to be a missionary through the game of soccer.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the church, and I became a Christian when I was quite young. And I always had this sense of knowing that within the church, if you were a doctor or if you were a teacher or if you were a nurse, then you could definitely be a missionary and you could go somewhere and work there and share the gospel. But I didn't really have any gifts like that. And I think, you know, if I was good at music, then I would have found a place in the church. And if I was good at these other things, then I would have found a place too. But as I grew up, I was very open to what God's call was on my life. And I was very open to serving Him in any way that I could. And it became clear to me that the thing that I was passionate about, the thing that I was most probably gifted at, could be used to share the gospel. And that basically was to coach or to play soccer. And growing up in Scotland, there wasn't many Christians that were on the teams. Once you got to a higher level, it certainly didn't seem like that. But I got in touch with a group called Ambassadors in Sport, and I ended up doing camps and ministry all over the world. In places like Mozambique, Sudan, South Africa, and then places much closer to home. And what I wanted to do when I became a coach was use the platform of soccer to share my faith and to minister through it. And one of the ways that I've been able to do that in Cleveland, in North Carolina, and now here, is to have soccer camps with churches in North Carolina, and also here with Dana and with the Flow camp, and also with a number of people within the church who are volunteers. And they've basically been able to build this camp in the last between this year and last year. We reckon there's probably about 350 kids have come to camp either here or in Chilliwack, and we're hoping to do it again next year and actually extend it to another church for another week. And so just with something simple like soccer, if you're willing to be used by God, then He will use it in an incredible way. And I definitely have sensed that this week. It's been a real joy to be around it. It's been really encouraging for me as well, and seeing people who are gifted in this way being able to use those gifts, and people who've volunteered. And I think whenever we do that, whenever we give to God's work, then we find ourselves being encouraged and lifted up probably even more than we ever get from, or even more than we give out. So for me as a coach, I had a number of opportunities to go and coach, either staying in MLS or going to Europe. And I also had an opportunity to go and coach in Seoul in South Korea. And the other options were the ones that I was probably most interested in. I think probably over the last 6 months, Amy and I have walked 250 odd miles at least. We go walking almost every day down by the seawall, and we talk about the opportunities that we have and what we should do and what we like and things like that. But when I was growing up, I learned from my dad that you don't go anywhere unless you're called by God. And so that was really the thing that we were praying about and thinking about. It's not just about what looks good to us or what would we like to do, but where is God calling you to be? Because that's where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And so as we prayed through this, I went and visited Seoul, and I met with people there. And it turns out the company that want to employ me to manage their soccer team are a Christian company. They were started by a Christian guy. He had a small 6 foot shop, six foot square, apparently very small, tiny shop. I think about 25 years ago he started it, and now the company makes $12 billion a year. So it's a huge Christian company. They give 10% of their money to Christian work, which is a fantastic thing. And they want to build a soccer team that's the biggest in Asia. They also are open to doing ministry through it. South Korea is the country that sends the most missionaries to around the world than any other country per head of the population. And so I hope to go there and also be able to teach them how to do soccer ministry, so that when they go to these other countries, in almost every country in the world, soccer is the biggest sport or one of the biggest sports. So I want to be able to do that, and want to be able to continue coaching at a very high level, which I'm really excited about. The vision they have to be the biggest and the best in Asia is one that definitely captures my imagination. Having the chance to be there at a club at the very start, when it's an opportunity to build the vision and the values and the culture that we want, is also very exciting for me. And so just that opportunity is one that certainly we believe God's called us to. And way back in November, before I even had any idea that there would be an offer from Korea, before I had even spoken to anyone about Korea, I didn't speak to anyone about it until probably June. Way back in November, in church, at the end of church, I had a sense that God was saying, you should go to South Korea. And I turned to my wife and said, I really think God's calling us to South Korea. And her reaction made me think, he's definitely not calling us there. But it was interesting all those months later to think back to that moment and say, well, maybe God was saying something there in that moment. So we're really excited about it. I do want to thank you all for the great support and friendship that we've had here. Really have enjoyed being at this church. I know Amy's enjoyed being in the Bible study, got to know a lot of people. It was God's providence that Dave and I met, and I got to come along here and be a part of what you're doing here, and certainly value all your prayers and encouragement, and thank you very, very much on behalf of me and my family for all that you've done for us, and we hope that we'll be able to stay connected and stay involved and help in any way we can in the future.